This is The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and with Ben Vowsler. This week we're discussing the science of food, and very soon we'll be joining Ben Vowsler in his own kitchen where he'll be baking a scientific cake. But first, when Turner and Constable first painted Stonehenge about 200 years ago, the very famous monument was surrounded by species-rich chalk grasslands. However, the need to grow food after World War II saw these grasslands turn into arable fields. But the landscape is changing once again. In the year 2000, the National Trust, with help from local landowners and scientists from the University of Reading, began what's called the Stonehenge Landscape Restoration Project. Its aim is to restore the landscape surrounding the monument by recreating the chalk grasslands and reintroducing biodiversity to the area. Planet Earth podcast presenter Sue Nelson went to one of the restored fields to meet two of the team, starting with the National Trust's countryside manager for Wiltshire, Chris Gingell.
What we did in 2000 was to bring a small quantity of seed harvested from Salisbury Plain to the great ancient grasslands to the north of here, and to grow a crop in the field adjoining us here, Seven Barrows Field, with that naturally harvested natural grass.
So the field that we're by the edge of right here, with all this lovely swaying grassland, and I can see a few sort of yellows of wildflowers and purples in the distance. This wasn't like this in 2000, 10 years or so ago.
No, this was another field of winter weeds and so on. In this field, we grew the first stand of this flower-rich grassland and used this as, if you like, the nursery site to harvest further seed. And every 1 to 2 years, another large arable field has been converted from corn to grassland with seed either harvested here, or now the programme sort of rolls on so that some of the fields that were laid down 6 or 7 years ago are now being in turn harvested.
And in that field I found Grace Twiston Davis from the University of Reading about to perform a butterfly survey.
Basically, when I do the survey, I just need a survey sheet so I can just write down what butterflies I see, and an identification sheet which just helps me with some of the female butterflies. Some of the blues are quite difficult to identify, so I have that as well in a pen. And I have a stopwatch as well, because I often do about a 30-minute survey.
Talk me through Okay. Exactly what you do.
We'll walk in a straight line for about 100 metres, quite slowly, and we'll look either side of us, about 10 metres either side, and we'll see what butterflies in the transect.
OK, well, let's walk about 10 metres or so through the grass.
I've seen some meadow browns. There's a few meadow browns fluttering about.
Gosh, you must have extremely good eyesight.
It's the way they fly. They fly very distinctively, almost like they're on a piece of string. They kind of bob up and down. So, a blue. I can see a blue over there. It's probably a common blue.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, lovely. Sorry, you do have to have good eyes for this. Well done.
Yeah, so that's a male common blue there.
It's almost like it's ringed with a pale
white, yes.
So how many species of butterflies have you observed in this beautiful recreated chalk grassland?
Well, last year when I did the surveys, we saw over 20 different species. Common blues, we saw small heaths, small tortoiseshells, Adonis blues, small blues.
Oh, it's interesting. You mentioned Adonis blues because they've not been as sort of successful, have they, in terms of returning to the sites as other species of butterfly?
Yes, that's because the Adonis blue are mainly at the old chalk grassland fragments that are still on this landscape. So we only see them in the new restored fields when they're coming to look for nectar in the new flowers that are there. But they're quite specialised. They'll only lay their eggs on horseshoe vetch, and their caterpillars will only eat horseshoe vetch. And that's a plant that's very restricted to these old fragments. But we're hoping that in the future that the horseshoe vetch will become established in the new restored fields and we can expand their populations.
Right, well, let's walk back through the grass towards Chris. Hi, Chris. It's all gone really well. It was rather beautiful to see. It's nice to see you sheltering from the wind in your National Trust Land Rover. When, for you, will you consider this restoration project complete?
I suppose what we're doing is perhaps not something that in a sense has a completion, but something which will be its own sustainable long-term future as a landscape. And that really is a question of scale. I think we've all known for a very long time that our protected sites, little fragments of the countryside that have much of their biodiversity interest, are many, many of them too small, too isolated, too fragmented. And one of the things which Grace's work will help us to understand here is just how extensive does this have to be to have that long-term viability and for the free movement of plants and animals without so much intervention. What we've done, of course, is in the last 10 years, is intervention. But for that grass then to persist with all its character and interest in the future.
Chris Gingell from the National Trust and Grace Twiston-Davies from the University of Reading. They were explaining the Stonehenge Landscape Restoration Project to Sue Nelson. As usual, you can hear more from the Planet Earth team online at thenakedscientists.com/planetearth.